It is impossible to overstate the mental scarring of the survivors of Tchoum.
The skeletons are underneath. They're in there.
Peter lived in the home until the age of four, when the nuns sold him on to a violent family. By that time, he'd lost his sister. She, like nearly 800 others, had her name recorded in a death register. To walk on this plot is to walk over the bones of infant children.
For a Catholic organization to put bodies in here, they were baptized, registered and baptized, yet they put them into their own consecrated grounds and left them here like animals. No respect, no records, no nothing. Savages, that's what they were.
Like all the others, Petrova's grandmother had to give her sons up to the nuns as punishment for becoming pregnant outside marriage. Both of them, Petrova's two uncles, died. John Francis only made a week. Apparently, they didn't feed him.
And your uncle's name's on this list, yeah?
Yeah, he's right here. John Francis Malone, 7 days.
And the death certificate says that he died of...
malnutrition. Well, it says marasmus, but starvation, essentially.
So he starved to death?
Yeah, he did.
In the care of the nuns?
Yeah.
Like many others, Petrova believes the whole place is a crime scene.
There's still an awful lot of unanswered questions. And without those questions being answered, then how do we know it's not?
It's 5 years since a local historian uncovered the scale of what happened here, and the government has promised to excavate the site. A preliminary investigation discovered skeletons lined up in rows. Since the entrance is very narrow, it's led to the suspicion that the nuns got the children to carry the bodies of dead babies down the pit. After these photos were taken, the whole site was covered over again.
Hello and welcome to Real Crime Profile. This is Jim Clementi, retired FBI profiler, former New York City prosecutor and writer-producer of CBS's Criminal Minds. And with me today is...
Laura Richards, criminal behavioural analyst, founder of Paladin National Stalking Advocacy Service, former New Scotland Yard, and host of the podcast Crime Analyst.
And I'm Lisa Zambetti, casting director of CBS's Criminal Minds, and we're back talking about this unbelievable docuseries on topics streaming now. It's called The Missing Children, and it just tells layer by layer this extraordinarily tragic, true story of Tuam, Ireland's most notorious mother and baby home for unwed mothers, and all of the horrible things that happened there. It's hard to know what's the worst part of this story. But as the docuseries goes along, it just uncovers layer after layer of shocking behavior from people who are supposed to be caring the most for the most vulnerable.
Yeah, and in episode two, it starts getting into these fostering and adoptions by the Catholic Church of these babies, babies that were taken away from their mothers, even the mothers that wanted to keep their babies. And apparently, if you were a cute baby and a healthy baby, then pictures would be taken of you and you would be advertised for adoption and fostering. But some babies didn't get that treatment. Are these the ones that ended up dead? Are these the ones that because they couldn't be adopted, they were somehow done away with or starved to death? I mean, this is outrageous. And apparently, the Catholic Church wasn't following the law when they set up these adoptions. And they said in 1950 alone, 500 babies were sent from Ireland to the United States of America. 500 babies. Over 4,000 babies were sent to the United States, but only 2,000 of those babies were recorded as legal adoptions. What the hell? So they're illegally doing this? They're forging documents? They have to get surrender documents from the parents? The mother has to approve it? And these girls in the mother-baby homes were just being forced to sign. Or they were just forging the documents. This is outrageous. And then they showed these letters thanking the people who adopted these babies for their, quote, generous donation In one case, they said it was 3,000 pounds, 5,000 US dollars for every baby adopted out. They're getting paid. This mother baby home, the church is getting paid $5,000. They're getting paid for
each head. At that time.
Yeah.
It's a huge amount of money. Yeah.
Yeah. A huge amount of money. But somebody's yearly salary, it would equal. So they're getting paid by the government for taking care of each of these kids. And then they're selling them for $5,000.
I think it's called trafficking, Jim.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, I'm going to call it what it is because it's absolute bullshit. It's children, babies being taken from mothers who, some of them didn't even know where the child or the baby was going. And some of them did not give their permission for that to happen.
No, they were told the kid was dead.
Exactly. And told to forget about the baby. I just can't even mentally go there to be told to forget about your baby when your whole body is screaming for that baby and to be told not to ask any more questions. They can go fuck themselves, quite frankly.
Thank you.
You know, every woman and every man should be utterly outraged about this behavior, and not just it happening, but the cover up that went with it, the profiting, because someone's making money here, aren't they?
Yes.
Jim and Lisa, to your point, Lisa, when we spoke earlier, someone's profiting. It's just absolutely unconscionable. It is so devoid of compassion and care and love and nurturing and all those things that nuns are supposed to be, right? A nursing institution, if you're trained as a nurse, you're meant to nurture and care for and have compassion and empathy and all those incredible and important characteristics. But none of that is present here. And it's like an onion. You keep peeling a layer and then you realize so many other individuals must have known something. They might not know all of it, but it's a big trafficking network. It's organized crime, quite frankly, and a network that has been buried for a very long time, and people don't want it to be talked about and they don't want all of it to come out. And I think it's really interesting because there's just faceless people, isn't there, here? Where's the accountability? It's just a faceless network of individuals. And that's the part that I think is really hard. And even though CHUM closed in 1961, and I think just the whole story behind it is very interesting. You mentioned already, you know, Catherine Corliss, but she just assumed that when babies or children died, and when they were under the care of CHUM, that it was probably due to famine or natural causes. And when she starts to see the birth certificate, she's seeing these blocks of measles and things that actually are completely treatable, but they're blocks on the certificate. And I don't know if either of you both noticed this, but just some of the birth certificates we saw, that the girls were written as domestic servants, you know, in terms of their occupation, in inverted commas, or one woman was written up as a spinster. And just the language that was used on these official documents, as well as even what the baby or the child died from, would merit further investigation. And it's just unbelievable how the questions started to be asked that, and I do want to name check Alison O'Reilly, the journalist who has been, again, a real shero in this. Of, I'm sure that people didn't want her to cover the story or the headlines to come out, but she was determined. And I'm not going to use the word dogged, because we always say that women chase things. They're like dogs with a bone. There's always negative narratives. I'm going to say that she was very tenacious and committed. And in fact, all the main individuals, most of them are all women actually pushing for the stories to come out and ensuring that there is light shone. But children were buried in the grounds. There was always a rumor that at CHUM children were buried in the grounds, but nothing really concrete. I shouldn't probably use that word, concrete.
Right.
But two boys were playing in the grounds and they fell through the surface soil and the briars, and they fell into this hole. And I mean, it's just horrific. There were bones and baby skulls and tiny skulls. So a local priest was called, he blessed the ground, and then it was all covered up. And later on, a housing estate was built on it. I mean, at so many points, people knew things were going on, but the ability to just bury it and close it down and to people stop asking questions. And that's why this story is so important, isn't it, Jim and Lisa, that we talk about it on Real Crime Profile, because we are all about giving the voice to the voiceless.
Yeah. And when you think that's between 1922 and 1998, 81,000 unwed mothers were incarcerated in these mother-baby homes, and most of them were forced to give up their kids. Most of them. It's an interesting statement they made. Why weren't all of them forced? Were the wealthy ones who were able to buy their way out of there from the church, were they the ones that didn't have to give up their kids? Was it just the mothers who didn't have the means, who couldn't bribe off or pay the $5,000 that the kid was worth on the adoption market? I mean, this is just heinous behavior by the church. I'm sick of hearing about things like this. And the commission that was empaneled to investigate this, I mean, they took their sweet time. And they keep talking about they want to exhume this site and see how many of these 796 kids who were reported dead, whether they were thrown in there, dumped in the septic tank, or whether they were somehow gotten rid of in another way. We don't know. And they want to do this exhumation, but they're saying it's going to cost $13 million. And the sisters, who are worth billions of dollars, only said that they would pay $2.5 million. But the fact is that they could go to any archaeological university that has an archaeological program, and I'm sure that school would send their doctoral students out there to do the exhumation, and they'll do an amazing job, and it won't cost $13 million. And this could have been done years ago. I mean, this is 9 years on, right?
Well, even longer, if you think that the little boys, you know, found the gravesite in the 70s. But in terms of, you know, the fact that there's been no investigation, you mentioned the commission, Jim, but there's no criminal investigation. And yes, there were 796 death certificates never matched with anyone or any of the remains. And that's also what I find just so difficult about this. You know, you mentioned being thrown into these, I'm going to call it a sewage site, because that's what it is.
It is.
And there are 20 chambers. And the way it's described, because there are forensic archaeologists, amazing women talking through, and I can't even imagine for them how that work must have been so difficult to do. But finding these 20 like wells, chambers, lifted the lid, and they could visually see that there were human remains, small human remains. I mean, that's so traumatic, but each chamber is about 2 meters deep. And that's why I say that these babies and children must have been thrown in there. There's no way that they were laid to rest in there.
And I have to tell you, I mean, let's just be really direct and graphic about this. This is where the waste from toilets went. And this is where the babies were thrown.
It's unless just a perfect metaphor. It's just a perfect metaphor of how they felt about these children.
But it's real and it's nasty. And to have these babies thrown into sewage, raw sewage, and left there, it's outrageous. It's horrible.
That's why, Jim and Lisa, everyone should be outraged, because we have to be graphic about this. I want everybody to know that that's what was done to the most vulnerable, to babies and children. We don't know. I mean, these things were written on the death certificates. I mean, we have no idea whether that's what they really died from. I just mentally don't even want to go there. But these nuns who are meant to be nurses, they did the exact opposite of what they should have been doing. And there was profit involved. You talked about the adoption, Jim, but it was trafficking. How organized they were, because we also hear on the documentary, and I can attest to this too, how meticulous nuns are in particular of record keeping and note taking. So they can account for every penny and euro spent, but yet there's no records of the children and the babies in this dark area where so many have just have gone missing and are unaccounted for, and human remains that are still there, that still have not been excavated and exhumed present day.
That's what I don't understand. It's like the Irish government is just absolutely has no energy, at least up until this point. And we'll talk about that. I mean, it was 2016, 2017, when they agreed for this very limited exhumation after Catherine Corliss, you know, pretty much revealed her story that she thought that there were 700 plus babies down there, and they absolutely slow walked it. She was in shock. She thought for sure that after her story broke, that they would want to get to the bottom of this, literally, and they didn't. And they put such limitations on these, as you say, Laura, these forensic archaeologists, that they could barely recover very few things. And I felt like during the documentary, they seemed very frustrated. While they couldn't say so, but to me, they seemed just shocked that they weren't able to really do their job. They were kind of handcuffed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that they're haunted by what's gone on. But when you've got church and state abuse, it's in no one's interest for the truth to come out. They just want it to stay buried. And hearing from so many brave people who are talking out, because I'm sure it's not easy to. I mean, A, because of the trauma, but B, because things have always been brushed under the carpet. And that's always been the way. But Anne Corrigan talking about her two brothers who died. Well, William just disappeared. He's still missing, believed possibly to have been adopted in America. So there are many Americans walking around, I'm sure, who might think that something wasn't quite right. They don't feel necessarily that they are from America, who feel that something's missing, or that maybe they had a brother or a sister. And this is the legacy. They don't know for sure. And that's how so many of the families realize, having read the headlines, that maybe they were one of those children. Maybe they were one of those babies. But Anna Corrigan talks about her two brothers, John, who on his death certificate, it said that he was emaciated. He had a voracious appetite. And she explains those two things.
What?
Paint a picture, don't they?
Yeah.
It's just so unconscionable, and that he had no control over his bodily functions. I mean, these again are babies, and why I'm naming them specifically is because they have just been disappeared and written out of history. No acknowledgement to them at all. And just that starvation aspect, that haunts me, because they did have the means. They did have everything there to care for these children, and they're still taking a paycheck from the state. And I just wrote by Bon Secours, they were well off. They've been paid well over and over again. They're evil. They tortured and terrorized these babies and children and women, the mothers, and that's the legacy. And they're offering up such a pittance to pay for the things that they did, that members of their organization did. That's fucking outrageous, quite frankly. It's an insult. They shouldn't just be offering up and saying immediately, we need to put this right. We need to do whatever it takes. And yes, you can do that apology, which they did in January 2021, finally, when they're pushed to do it. But they made a huge amount of money from the sale of land and those buildings. They can put their hand in their fucking pockets and pay. You know, it's so unpalatable,
it is.
But that's what they should be doing. And they should be paying the families as well. They should just be offering compensation, doing the right thing as a charitable and nurturing and caring so-called institution.
I may have to open their coffers yet. I mean, if these families organize and go after them civilly, I don't know, is that possible in Ireland?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so, because they've legally tied the hands of all these victims. As we said, they started a commission to investigate this, and they took 5 years. 5 years. It's outrageous.
Yeah.
5 years to write up a report. But whatever, that's not the bad part. The bad part is that they sealed They put out a report, but all the documentation was sealed. So it was just their sort of whitewash report that they actually released. And it didn't have any details. And because of that, the police department said, look, we only got the report. We didn't get any of the supporting documentation. So we don't have any evidence to open an investigation.
But why? Why would they do that? Mind. This is their own people. Why would they seal it for 30 years so that when they open
two
it,
words.
Everybody's dead?
Catholic Church. How many times do I have to say
fuck's
it?
Fuck's sake.
They're ultimately the authority in Ireland.
Still,
the Catholic Church.
I mean, they are
of course.
Still this powerful?
Absolutely. Everything goes back to the church. And so here it is. The law in Ireland is that they can't use any of the information that was uncovered in this inquiry by the commission in civil or criminal cases.
Then why do it?
What?
Then why?
The holy fuck. Yeah. Yeah. What
the
fuck?
To look as if you're doing the right thing. I mean, firstly, a commission taking 5 years is just obscene. I mean, it's to delay the process. Of course it is. It's to keep stalling. Even excavating and exhuming the human remains, they want to push through a law. Well, what decent society, why would you need a law to do that, to
right.
excavate a mass grave? Just fucking do it. It's just outrageous that a law is even needed. So I'm not going to give them a pat on the back for doing that. But you answered your own question, Lisa, about why 30 years. It's to make sure that everybody and anybody who's attached to it, who cares, is dead.
Exactly.
And that, again,
it's so
just,
obvious. It's so
right.
infuriating.
It is so blatantly obvious that that's what's happening. And I have to say, and you mentioned this kind of earlier, Annie Owens' son, Michael Byrne, the pain in his eyes when he said, why would they do this? How could they do this? How could they be so cruel to the victims of crimes? And now to seal all this information for 30 years and to prevent the victims from using it in civil or criminal cases, prevent your own government from using it in criminal cases is another crime to me, in my mind. To me, they are allowing the Catholic Church to get away with murder and torture and false imprisonment, all in the name of this morality. And for the prime minister to say there was a perverse religious morality and control, which was so damaging. So why the fuck do you keep bowing down to it? Why do you continue that kind of behavior? Why do you allow them specifically to get away with it? Why isn't there a commission to investigate why they would do this bullshit? Why the church has this religious, this perverse religious morality, why this still has a hold on the Irish government. And then I think you mentioned earlier, Laura, on January 21st, the Bon Secours sisters, they made a statement. We did not live up to our Christianity in running the home. Bull fucking shit. You used your Christianity to enforce these fucking moral, insane tortures on young women and children. You used Christianity as your motivation. Don't say you didn't live up to your Christianity. The Christianity you thought you were doing drove you to do it. It's such bullshit. They did it in the name of Christianity.
Their statement just made my blood boil, just like you, Jim. And I do want to read it out. Firstly, they say, we did not live up to our Christianity when running the home. We failed to respect the inherent dignity of the women and children who came to the home. We failed to offer them the compassion that they so badly needed. That, to me, right there, is really important. At their worst time, they, in fact, did the very opposite. And as you say, Jim, they used Christianity as the reason that they were punishing the girls and the children. And they went on to say, we acknowledge in particular that infants and children who died in the home were buried in a disrespectful and unacceptable way. For that, we are deeply sorry. That's a fucking understatement, quite frankly. You have families going to a sewage site to pay their respects because they think their loved one is in there. That is fucking unacceptable, quite frankly, to go to a sewage site when they excavated some of their own and put them in a really fancy grave site all together. And in Ireland, where families are the most important things, where families are buried together, and yet they still allow families, brothers and men and women and girls and boys to go and pay their respects where there were 20 sewage containers. That is just absolutely morally, ethically, legally bankrupt in every way. And then their last statement, we hope and we pray that healing will come to all those affected, those who are living and those who have died. We hope that we, our church and our country, can learn from this history.
No, the only reason why they even made those admissions, because they are bulletproof civilly. Nobody can use this information against them. Nobody can sue them because of what they did. Nobody can throw them in jail for what they did. It's that protection that gave them the ability now, a century later, after they started these crimes, to just basically say, yeah, we did that, and let's hope we can learn from it. I can't be any more pissed.
I feel exactly the same. It should be a criminal investigation. There should be legal proceedings to say, well, they're worried about how much money it might cost. It's not about money. It's about doing the right thing. It's about babies and children who were tortured. It's about boys and girls who grew up without their mother thinking that they had been abandoned.
Exactly.
And yes, I agree. Michael Byrne, you know, broke me, found his mother, and he was 10 years too late. And he could have had that time with her, but they stole that. And that was preventable. The same with the letter that was read out.
Letters.
My goodness.
Yes.
Oh, Lisa, my heart was just breaking. A mother who wrote to her reverent mother and was so deferential of, I know I might be breaking the rules, but please, I just want to know how my baby's doing. How is my daughter? Maybe you can't tell me, but I just want her to know that I'm thinking about her. Even though I'm married, I still think about her. And if she ever needs anything, please let her know that I'm here. And that was in a room in a filing cabinet under lock and key and sat there for 53 years.
And many of these families thought that they were getting orphans, that they were saving. No, they were wanted. They had mothers and in some cases fathers that wanted them. And they were shipped off like they were gifts, you know,
a commodity,
right. Exactly.
A baby farm, yeah. Trafficking, organized crime.
81,000 women went through there.
I try to be upbeat and feel that way when you see Kathleen reunited with her brother and her sister. And that did feel emotional to me, but I'm sorry.
We needed that.
Yeah,
it's
you needed
enough.
Something
yeah,
in there.
Yeah.
But they also said that happened to so few people, and you can't make better things that where there's such an absence or where there's such pain and there's such trauma. You can't just say sorry and expect that to be good enough. And you can't make it up to someone. It just hurts my heart and my soul on every level that there are people who have been so wronged. And it's not just what happened. It's that the cover-up is somehow worse. And we always say it, don't
yes.
we, Jim? We've said it many times that the cover-up is just the main crime, actually, that's being committed right now, present day.
And for what? It's like they're just little dots in somebody's ledger. You know, they're not people. They're just these, I don't know. I just can't imagine looking at humans this way. But I wanted to ask you a question. What do you think about the timing of this new industrial burials bill that has been put forth by the Minister of Children, Roderick O'Gorman, who now wants to exhume all the bodies from tomb and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's a little ironic to me.
Face-saving, They know this documentary is coming out.
This documentary has got some force behind it. I mean, this is ITV. This is, you know, Irish Public Broadcasting. You know, there are some people behind this that want this story out there. And it's just so interesting to me that when it's finally coming out, it's like, oh, we have this bill that we're finally going to put forward. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, because an American production company wanted to make this and the Americans put money into it to make it. I feel fairly confident to say that no one in Ireland was saying, let's make this documentary. You know, and they're probably hoping that people weren't going to speak out. And I'm so glad that people did. And the vigils that we saw, the campaign work that led to ensuring that the sealing didn't happen, the 30-year sealing didn't happen of the document. So all the evidence has been sealed for 30 years, but the actual public records, the personal data has not. And that's important. But yes, the timing is no coincidence, is it? It's purely brought about from pressure to bear because Irish people have not been quiet, and you have to get loud and you have to get louder to make things happen. And even the Ireland's prime minister who spoke in January 2021, I mean, again, it was just such an understatement what he said about girls and women and children being treated atrociously. I mean, even just those words, it just doesn't even describe, even half describe what has gone on. And that control is still going on, the controlling behavior. So I don't think you need a law to exhume, and certainly not for mass graves. It's happened all around the world with various disasters that have happened, whether natural or intended. So why do you need a fucking law, quite frankly, to do the right thing? It's just not good enough.
That's exactly what I want to read you a quote from Susan Lowen. She's an activist and she's a survivor of a mother of one of the mother and baby homes. And she said this to the committee about the bill, that it fails to deliver on truth for the mothers, children, survivors, and families. It operates on the basis that these deaths are a fait accompli, requiring neither investigation, explanation, accountability, nor compensation. So some of these survivors are like, no fucking way.
Right. But what's also critically important is that the police are given access to all the sealed evidence. Everything that the commission uncovered, every interview that was done, should be turned over to the police so that they have the evidence to start a criminal investigation. There's no reason why that shouldn't be done. It has nothing to do with costing more money, or they would be able to do their jobs. And their hands are tied because that information is sealed off to them. Everybody in the UK, everybody in Ireland who can hear us, please write in. Please get your lawmakers to release that evidence at least to the police so that a criminal investigation can be done. And at least the persons who are still alive and the agencies that still exist that actually committed these crimes can be investigated and brought to justice. It's the only thing we can do for these poor babies who were mistreated and tortured and starved, and these poor young mothers who lost their kids. Please, please do it for them.
There just has to be some accountability here. And Galway County Council should also be held to account. It's all very well people just putting up, you know, saying that they're sorry and that they handed things over. And, you know, I sort of rub my hands of it. I'm done. But it's just not good enough. And even seeing those apologies at the end, they're just empty. They're empty words saying that, well, firstly, not even appearing in the docuseries. That is a huge absence. And it tells us, it paints a picture, the fact that the Bon Secours institution didn't even find the time to do an interview. The same with Galway County Council. So they apologize at the end saying that there was no care, no compassion or protection. And they say that they shared all the information with the commission. Well, that's all very well and convenient, isn't it? And that they weren't aware of any deaths being falsified. Well, if you don't investigate, you know nothing, basically. If you ask no questions, then you know nothing. And it's just such a ridiculous thing to say. And they say that they saw no evidence of religious orders who ran the mother and baby homes making a profit. Well, follow the fucking money, because the money will paint a picture in and of itself. And even with, like I said, the housing, even with the buildings, they made profit from that. the baby farms.
Like $3 billion.
Exactly. They made so much money. So it's bullshit to say that they didn't make a profit from it. They are very well off. And there are people who need to pay. The accountability, the transparency. And I really hope that people don't just stop. You know, we're just saying, oh, it's a terrible docuseries, or say, well, I can't watch it because it's too emotive or it's too upsetting. We have to watch these things. We have to be aware of what's going on present day. And not just say, oh, well, that happened. It was different times. If you let them get away with it, then you're complicit in it, quite frankly. And you're saying that that's okay. And I didn't know that quote, actually, Lisa, that you read out from one of the survivors. But that's exactly how I feel about it. A law takes time to push through. It doesn't bring any accountability. It doesn't match up any of the families together. It doesn't make a clear statement that this is wrong and that we accept responsibility for the decisions that we took year after year, decade after decade. So I'm obviously a lot angrier in this recording than I've been when we've recorded on lots of other very difficult subjects. But this one is so close to home for me. And I feel rage now, you know, and talking about it, I do feel rage, but people need to care and we need to have our voices heard. And the vigils, the campaign work, I just want to doff my cap to the women who led these campaigns. So Catherine Corliss, Alison O'Reilly, Dr. Maeve O'Rourke, and I'm sure there are many more, but asking difficult questions, because women are difficult when we ask these questions. We're difficult women, and I say cheers to being difficult women. The truth will out eventually, but let's make it sooner rather than later, because this has just gone on for so long. And it's no coincidence that we're dropping this across St. Patrick's Day. We're laying down a very clear marker to how RCP feel about this, Jim, Lisa, and I. We're angry, we're pissed, we want to see action, and we stand with all the families, all the survivors. And if any of them want to come and talk to us, then we'd be more than happy to speak to you and get word out. So I'm not going to say I hope you enjoyed these episodes. I hope that you found them informative, and I hope that you will take action with us. So for now, this is Real Crime Profile signing out.
If you like deeper analysis like this episode on topics like Making a Murderer, Mindhunter, Escape at Dannemora,
the case of Sally Challen, the teacher's pet, Lynette Dawson, the exonerated five in When They See Us, and the disappearance of Madeleine McCann, you can listen to RCP on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or whatever platform you listen to us on. And please be sure, if you like what we do, to give us a 5-star review.
Thank you for listening to Real Crime Profile. Real Crime Profile is produced and edited by Paul Francis Sullivan. Sound engineering by Mike Thal. Music is composed by Simba Tsumba. Logo art by Jim Clementi. Real Crime Profile is produced by XG Productions and distributed by Wondery.
For advice and support if you're experiencing stalking in the UK, you can contact Paladin National Stalking Advocacy Service on 0203 866 4107. Or you can go to the website where there's a lot of information and advice that you can follow on www.paladinservice.co.uk. If you're experiencing domestic abuse, you can call the National Domestic Violence Helpline for free on 0800 2000 247. In the US, if you're experiencing domestic abuse and need advice, shelter or counselling, you can call Genesis, the 24-hour hotline, on 214 946 4357. You can also go to their website for further advice or support, www.genesisshelter.org. And there's the domestic violence hotline on 800 799 7233.